When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good Thursday afternoon. Welcome into Grant and Danny. It's December 19th, 2024, and we will take you all the way up to 6:30 this evening, 4.5 hours. We'll give away Caps tickets at 4 o'clock. And on the docket today at 3, Eric Flack, who has been on the beat as it pertains to getting the RFK land back to D.C. and the Commanders trying to build a stadium in the city. He will join us with the latest as everything is now in a holding pattern, it appears. And at 5 o'clock today, we're going to preview the college football playoff landscape that is set to kick off for the first time ever this weekend with our buddy Danny Cannell, who, of course, was a star at Florida State. Very outspoken on college football, has great opinions. We will have a conversation with him about who's going to win the national championship 3 hours from right now.
Yeah, it's going to be cool, man. I guess the tournament gets underway Friday night, right? There's a game, you know, Friday. There's at least one Saturday as well. My son was actually really interested in it, and he's like, I know we're not going to be around, so can we DVR one of these games? So it's caught his attention, which I thought was pretty cool.
Three games on Saturday. In fact, Saturday is going to be one of the best football days in history, possibly. Here's your five-game slate on Saturday between college and the NFL. At noon, SMU plays Penn State. Staggered by 1 hour, the Texans and the Chiefs, a 1 o'clock kickoff. Then at 4 p.m., as SMU and Penn State is ending, Clemson and Texas begins for game number two of the college football playoff. About 30 minutes after they kick off, at the end of Texans-Chiefs, game number two in the NFL begins, and that's going to be a slobber knocker. That's Steelers-Ravens at 4:30 in the AFC North. And just when you think your quadruple header is over, you've had your two college games, likely Penn State and Texas advancing, but maybe we get a surprise when the Texans and the Chiefs and the Steelers and the Ravens are done. At 8 p.m. in primetime, Tennessee and Ohio State, the SEC and the Big Ten. Couple of powers, couple of top 10 teams all year long in America meeting in the college football playoffs. Three college games, two pro games, noon to about midnight. Let's have a Saturday.
Partridge in a pear tree. How about that? Give me rooting interest for the games on Saturday. SMU, Penn State, Clemson, Texas, Tennessee, Ohio State. Anybody Grant Paulson's pulling for?
That is a good question. First of all, I'm going to go Texas over Clemson. I don't really know why. I like Quinn Ewers a little bit. I like watching him. I also like Arch Manning, who's their backup quarterback. I think they've got a pretty good thing going at Texas. I'm a Dabo guy generally. I don't have any problem with him. I kind of like people that everyone makes fun of. And, you know,
he's a little goofy.
Yeah. If anybody like is hated because of just being like old school or fairly antiquated in their decency, like that guy's not an idiot. He doesn't go out and do stupid things at the podium. I don't know. It's just, I root for those guys, but I will go Texas over Clemson. And then I guess I'll go Ohio State and Penn State. I want as many of the good teams as possible to advance to the deepest round so that we get the best matchups. I don't want an upset with SMU. I think Clemson would be probably a pretender a little bit moving forward. So give me Penn State, Texas, Ohio State. Let's have the powers link up in the semifinal round.
Who are you pulling for to win the whole darn thing? You're Georgia Bulldogs? As a longtime Georgia fan?
No, probably not.
Okay.
The longtime Georgia fan in me has kind of had my fun. I've seen them win.
You enjoyed it? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I still watch them more than any other team, mm-hmm. but I'm not like a Georgia mark. That's like the team that I follow. I'd like to see Texas or something kind of fresh and different and new, to be honest with you. I'm anti-Ohio State. I will say that. As they get further along, I want them to be upended. I'll probably say a Longhorns national championship, Texas Big Back, would make me feel pretty good.
Okay.
I think that's good for college football.
I'll take that. Sounds good to me. My only rooting interest is against Penn State indiscriminately. Multiple reasons won't go into, but the most recent spat where we correctly assessed how much of a jackass James Franklin and company were when they ran up the score on people and then did that like weird straw man about, if you don't like it, stop us. And then the responses from the Penn State faithful. So rooting against them pretty indiscriminately. But I'm sure they're going to win a bunch and everyone will be happy.
I don't know if they're going to win a bunch. You mean buy a bunch?
No,
I mean they're going to rip off.
No, I think they'll win. They'll beat Boise State. So all of a sudden they'll be, you know, they'll beat SMU, who I don't think belongs, but what do I know? Then they'll beat Boise State because I think they're probably better.
Yeah.
From that old Big Ten.
I don't want to say it's a cakewalk, but they got the best draw.
That's my point.
So
they'll just get to walk on through. And so that to me is a bunch. Now you've advanced multiple rounds. That's way more Penn State on my screen.
Yeah. So I want Ohio State, Oregon in a 1-8 matchup in the second round. I want Texas, Arizona State. And then I'm rooting for Oregon, Texas to get to the national championship game. I want to see Notre Dame play Georgia and Penn State play Boise State. I would probably pull for Boise State and, weirdly enough, Notre Dame. I don't think this will happen.
Okay.
But those teams to get to the Final Four, and then Notre Dame in the national championship against Oregon probably is what I would root for. I think it's going to be Oregon against Georgia. I think those are the two best teams, and that's how it's going to end. But it would just be nice to see Notre Dame not get embarrassed one of these times when they play
wouldn't it be fun?
The national powers.
If the national rankings actually matched how good they were,
yeah.
Instead of just the annual overhype so that, you know, they can get some good ratings on NBC.
But you sleep. I know Ryan sleeps.
Oh.
And Darius definitely sleeps on Cam Scataboo, the running back from Arizona State. He's like a Mike Allstott looking, but faster. Big, white, like 237 pound. It just doesn't make sense what this guy does and the speed and how he operates. He's a blast to watch. Arizona State against Texas could be a fun little 4-5 game if Texas can get by Clemson. So sorry, Drabby, but I would then root for Texas to get to the Final Four. But let's do this thing. Let's have a Saturday.
Let's do it.
Two NFL games, three college games. I'm supposed to take my daughter to see Moana 2. So somewhere in there, I'm going to be in a movie theater, watching The Rock sing songs.
Just on your phone.
But I would like to watch as much football as possible, too. I think that could be fun. And we're all getting ready for Sunday. And the Commanders and the Eagles. Did you hear what Cliff Kingsbury had to say today about game number one?
I did indeed. I actually thought I really liked this.
Kingsbury blamed himself for the loss. Did not like the game he called. Didn't like how much he tried to cram into the couple days that they had to prepare before a Thursday night football game. This was Cliffy today at the mic.
Yeah, I think the ability to learn from what we did the first time we played them on a short week. I mentioned this before, but I had way too much in, and I felt like we played tentative. I didn't call a very good game. So now to have the full week process and just see how they played this first time, try to make the proper adjustments, and then see how far we've come since then. I think that's going to be the exciting part. But they've done a tremendous job, Coach Fangio, defensively. I mean, the improvements they made from last year and just watching them week to week, critical moments, the way they're playing. It's been impressive to see the job he's done. It'll be a huge challenge, but I think we're a different team. They're a different team, and hopefully we can play at a lot higher level than we did the first time.
That might have been Washington's worst offensive game of the year. It was probably Daniel's worst performance. They went 3 of 12 on third down. They averaged 4.2 yards a play, barely had over 260 net yards in the game. They threw for 170 net, and that was with a bunch of garbage time, moving the football at the end of the game. They didn't really get over 100 yards until the last couple of drives, if you remember. They had a 70-yard drive with 30 seconds left, where Zach Ertz caught a touchdown when they were down 26-10. How much of the problem do you think Cliff Kingsbury is right about, that maybe they just overdid it in their prep on a short week and was the plan and the play calling.
So good for him for owning that. To me, the problem wasn't, well, I'll take one part of it. The plan was an issue. And here's what I mean. That was the last time as we're sitting there going, please don't just line up Terry McLaurin in one spot. Because when you did that, you didn't throw to him at all. And when you don't throw to him at all, the offense stinks and the offense stunk. So since then, he's been in the slot. He's been on the right side. He's been in motion. All the things that everyone complained about the cliff and whatever, valid things, by the way, adjustments have been made since. Now I get excited. So your initial plan was, yeah, let's just leave him on this really good cornerback who has played excellently. And there were no targets, pretty much, until the end of the game. So officially, I care about that.
Yeah, the numbers were 2 targets, 1 catch, 10 yards. And his first target came, I believe, just before halftime. And his only other one came midway through the third quarter, if I remember.
And that's kind of my point here. So in that regard, yes, I agree with you that the plan wasn't particularly great. I think there's a lot of things. Philadelphia's defense is awesome. They really are. We didn't know it how good they were then, but they've turned out a lot of work since then that's among the best in the sport.
But he's not saying, I don't think, Danny, I didn't get the ball to Terry McLaurin enough. He's saying, I think I put too much in the few days that we had. Like he's doing when you sit down for your job interview and you go, what's your worst attribute?
I care too much.
I'm just too honest. I just try too hard. Like he's doing I really overworked in those couple of days. And I'm not trying to say he's patting himself on the back. I actually love that he's kind of taking blame.
He's taking a make up.
He's taking it off Jaden's shoulders and the offense's shoulders. And he's going, yeah, I screwed us up that day. I don't know that I completely buy that. That the problem was that they had too many plays that they liked. that sounds great. I think that game, they got shoved on by a really good defense. And we talked yesterday about Daniel's health. He did not look right in that game. He did not play very well. But to your point, the lack of involvement of Terry McLaurin, the lack of involvement for Noah Brown, 1 catch, 4 yards. Some of this was that Daniels was off, but a lot of it was they couldn't sustain any drives. They couldn't stay on the field. They converted just 3 third downs out of 12, as I mentioned. Like no one's going to get the ball.
Right.
Because you're punting constantly. It was the opposite of what most of this year has been like, where they never punted. These were how long their drives were in terms of plays. 3 plays, 4 plays, 3 plays, 3 plays. 9 plays, 37 yards punt, by the way, with a 10-yard penalty. So a net of 27 yards on 9 plays.
Hard to do.
I don't even know how that is possible. I'd have to go back and watch that. 4 plays, 8 plays, 5 plays. They couldn't stay on the field.
Mm-hmm.
So no kidding, Terry didn't get the ball. Nobody did. Brian Robinson and Jaden Daniels. That's about it.
The only guy that did was Austin Eckler in the receiving game.
He was
good. And they don't have him this go-round. So, yeah, I mean, the specifics of his, hey, this is where I messed up, that's fine. And I appreciate him doing that. I'm on the same side. But in totality, no, I don't necessarily buy it. But again, I like that the head coach is doing that instead of saying, yeah, Jaden didn't really do that great of a job, and he was getting wrapped on the sideline with whatever that was around his midsection, but we're not going to say what it was, and he's just staying warm or something. Yeah, the offense wasn't good in that game. And again, Philadelphia deserves a lot of credit because they are excellent on that side of the football, but it's got to be different this time. And I'm hoping that with some of the changes and the adjustments and now his willingness to not just say, Terry on the left and we'll figure out whatever else, he's moving around. That gives me some hope that they understand if you've got 10 plays, it can't just be, well, we don't get enough plays. We can't get Terry the ball. No. Included early, then you get more plays. And if you don't, at least you went down getting the ball to Terry McLaurin. And that's my hope now is that there's an adjustment there. Because since then, McLaurin's productivity has continued to shine.
The Eagles defensively, by the way, since their bye week, which, it's one thing to say that 3 weeks after the bye week. That's now couple of months ago, right? They've played double-digit games basically since then. They're the best defense in the league. But you don't even need that qualifier anymore. Because it's been so many games, they're now the number one defense in the NFL on the season, period. 4.7 yards per play. They're number 9 against the run. They're number 1 against the pass. They are number 7 at getting to the quarterback and getting sacks. If you remember, that was what they did in the first game. I mean, they made Jaden Daniels uncomfortable. They got home. They moved him off his mark. They kept him in the pocket, though. Most teams that have rushed Jaden Daniels well haven't gotten home, and he's basically escaped out the back door. It's like you're doing a breaking and entering, coming in the front door, and Jaden Daniels goes, well, see you later.
Thanks.
And he dips out into the backyard, and he runs through the woods. The Eagles were able to keep him in the pocket while they were breaking into the pocket and stealing everything from Washington. which most teams hadn't been able to do. They're number one at avoiding giving up first downs. We saw that, as we talked about. You're not sustaining your drives. I mean, they've just been awesome at everything. They're number two on third down. They are number four in the red zone. They are number three in the NFL in scoring and number one in yard differential. So they're just in a really, really good place defensively. It's going to be a very tall task, and I am very excited to see how this offense handles it. Because in some of their games, against the best defenses they've played, it has been a scuffle. And we said in the second half of the season, this would be coming. When you played Pittsburgh, when you played Philly, it's going to look a little different. And it certainly has. But they have not really had that epic, virtuoso, great defense, and you overcame, and you lit them up performance. And I'm hoping that this is that for Jaden Daniels, Cliff Kingsbury, and Washington's offense.
Well, this would go so far to doing so many different things. Number one, to that point, you beat the good team. How about a team that's ripped off 10 straight wins and is a Super Bowl contender?
Yeah, instead of your best win being against 7-7 Arizona, now your best win is against the number one team in the NFC.
You thrived against a great defense. If they're able to play their A game against a really, really bona fide, excellent opponent, that's going to go a long way to validating some of this stuff. Because so far, again, I'm very pleased, as every fan should be. You should be happy. You should be thrilled. Big picture. This particular season, though, this little sliver we're looking at, we're just looking through a microphone glass at this little tiny season, you go, yeah, they're probably not ready to beat some of the good teams yet, or even the great teams yet. They could beat some bad teams. You do that, you go to the postseason. A few teams are going to do that this year. But how awesome would this be for a narrative change, right?
I should point out, I'm actually need to apologize to you. I'm remiss that I didn't point this out right off the top. Oh. You look fantastic today.
Oh, well, thank you.
For those of you watching on YouTube, on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page, you see me in my Caps hoodie on the left there. And on the right is Danny Ruye in a sports jacket and a nice button-down dress shirt with a pocket square. A
little flair there, yeah.
I think we got a holiday celly tonight.
Yeah, the wife's company holiday party is this evening. I will be attending that. So I've got my red festive pantaloons on as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
can we see those on camera?
Yeah, I'm going to stand up for you.
Yeah, go ahead and stand up.
By the way, the lights aren't really on in here. We should probably let me fix that. I'll stand up and fix that, and you can see both the front and the hind parts as I stand up, which is fine.
We're all very excited about
that.
That's
fine. Hold on.
The red pants, by the way, are extremely red, but it is very festive. You look like you're ready for Christmas. Now, how on are you at this event? I mean, are you going to walk around and really turn on the charm and try to hold court?
Great question.
Will there be any impressions done?
These are great questions. I don't know about this sort of stuff.
I think you're trying to win over some wife colleagues, right?
Yeah.
My guess is,
I don't know what they want. Like, it's at a crowded holiday party with loud noise. Like, our holiday party was the loudest place in human history.
So I appreciate Odyssey doing a holiday party at MGM. Mm-hmm. And I thought the food was amazing.
Yeah, everything was good.
It was an open bar. Like, a lot of things that over the years I would have said, like, we'll never have. And seriously, credit to them for doing it. That was very nice. Also, let's just get rid of the DJ situation, because it was, if the speakers went to 100, I'm going to sound like my dad for a second. It's too loud, Janine. It's too loud. I mean, it was on 95, and you and I are standing next to each other just, this is the bit. We were like, how long did it take you to get here?
What? What? Richard Gere?
The food's really good.
What mood is in the hood?
Anne Heche,
the actress. It was so ridiculous. I just stepped out. I couldn't handle it anymore. My voice was hoarse.
Yeah.
I couldn't hear a word anyone was saying. It was lovely. I know we're complaining. It was super nice. I just couldn't handle the noise anymore.
You asked me at one point, this is true, Danny said, where are we putting the bags? And I said, on the floor over there. And you said, Terry McLaurin? The McLaurin? I said, no, the floor. McLaurin. That was an interaction we had.
Floor and decor? What? It made no sense.
It was so loud.
So it's going to be loud, and so that's not real impression conducive. You know what I mean? That's not real, like, hey, I hate to ask you
this,
but did you do Charles Barkley to commercial? Yeah. Like, I don't know what they want.
Do me a favor.
Sure.
I want you to count the number of impressions you do, okay? And I want two numbers. I want number of impressions you're asked to do.
Okay.
And then I want the ones you just kind of break out. At, like, showing it off a little bit.
All right. My bet is, the over-under is 1/2 of an impression.
I'm slamming over.
I don't think
you'll be mid-sentence with someone at some point, and like a name will come up that you have in the artillery. Like, they'll be like, oh, great movie, yeah. Love De Niro. And that'll be your
cue. You just do it.
You're just going to be like, oh, it's my time to flex a little bit.
So I don't know if any of these people know who I am or care. I'm just my wife's husband here tonight.
Yes, like, I don't think anyone's going to ask you to do one. I think you're going to break a couple out.
I don't know about that.
There might
honestly
be a guy that you find cool that you're friends with.
It might be. Again, I don't know what to expect. Like, my wife, who's incredible, does this bit where she'll just say someone's name, and like I'm trying to figure out who this person is.
Yeah.
So you know Jen. No, I don't remember. I may have met her once 10 years ago, but I'm not sure. Like, there's like a way work colleague type person, and I just don't know who everyone is. So whether they know who I am or care, I'm going to act as if. Like, whatever she wants me to do, I'm going to do. Does that make sense?
Sure it does. Yeah. I think you're going to have a good time, though. There's probably going to be good food.
That's the key.
You heard what Cliff Kingsbury thinks needs to be different than the first time Washington played Philly and lost on Sunday. He thinks he's got to call a better game and plan a better game offensively, which would be nice. We will put that into the let's do it pile. What else needs to be in that pile? What do you think has to be different for Washington to get a different result against the Eagles on Sunday? We'll open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. Next on Grant and Danny.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, it starts, I think, with Coach Fangio. They're very well coached. They don't give up anything easy. You got to defeat them. Not a lot of big plays. And then creating havoc up front. You know, 98 is as good a player as there is in the NFL right now. He wrecked us the first game. And they have some really good rushers. I think their secondary play is really in line together. 27 that they drafted has been phenomenal for a young guy. And so they just got it going. They play really well together, and they don't give up big plays.
High praise from Cliff Kingsbury for Jalen Carter, calling him a guy playing, needed to get that cough out. One of the best defensive players in the league right now. Carter, 14 games, 13 starts on the season, 4.5 sacks, about 40 tackles. He is a handful, and he was a wrecking ball. Blew some really critical plays up, including that key fourth down when Washington didn't kick the field goal to take a lead.
He's a bad dude.
He is a beast, 23-year-old sophomore player. In the NFL. We'll get back into what has to be different for the Commanders to beat the Eagles in just a moment. You can call in now if you want to hop in. 800-636-1067. I want to remind everybody that tomorrow's show will be out and about with a live audience. We want you guys to come out and support the program and listen to the show and take part in our little pre-Eagles pep rally. Our Friday field trip is at the Crystal City Sports Pub tomorrow. Just across the river from
DC,
Maryland.
Yes, indeed.
Great location. One of my favorite sports bars. Funny to say, I've been going there since I was a little kid. me and my dad used to go.
It's a good turn of phrase, yeah.
Many, many years ago. But they got a great little dining area as well. But I love that place in Crystal City. So come on out right on, I think it's 23rd Street in South Arlington. But it's right off 395.
And you know it. It's right there. Everybody knows Crystal City Sports Bar.
Who hasn't been there? It is such a great little spot. So we'll see you guys out there. Danny's done his holiday shopping, he told us yesterday.
Yes.
So that means your stress is over.
Nope.
It means that you can just put your feet up and get ready for Christmas next up.
No, not at all. It's juggling events, juggling the calendar, juggling feelings. It's just nothing but juggling. It's a chainsaw Molotov cocktail juggle festival for the adults. And I only do a fraction of it. I mean, my wife does 97% of it. But the secondhand stress is real. It's nothing but parental effort, which we signed up for, and I would do again. I'll do it again next year. But no, there's nothing relaxing about it.
You're going to a holiday party tonight?
Yes.
Probably wrapped some gifts, put them under the tree. Sounds like you're in the holiday spirit.
Yeah, it's not a thing. It's not a Hallmark movie. You know what I mean? Like, come on, there's no soundtrack in real life. You know what I'm saying?
It can't be a holiday movie if you make it one. You just have to want it to be one.
See the camera crew and a budget?
Well, I mean, not an actual movie, but you could just get home and everyone could come up and be like, God bless us, everyone. And you could sit down and have a ham dinner. You could do that kind of stuff.
Who can? What are you even talking about right
Christmas
now?
Christmas night. Just go,
Sure, yeah.
You have a nice dinner and your kids open their presents and they're so happy.
Oh, that's not what I wanted. Or, oh, I put a different color. I asked for this one. It's complaints. That's what it is. Nothing but complaining.
Nothing says the holidays like joyful, merry Danny Ruye.
And I was actually just thinking this right now, since we don't have a confidence points punishment, what if the punishment is that someone has to go Christmas caroling in February? Danny has to bring the Christmas spirit in another month, and maybe it'll hit him then.
Christmas caroling in February?
So yeah. I don't know about Christmas caroling in February.
Yeah, that'd be like solicitation. You get like a fine.
What we could do is the loser, we could do a caroling bit, like a door-to-door caroling.
That's what I'm saying.
But next Christmas.
I say we do
like,
it.
I mean, Darius still has to go take the pictures. It's not like there's a use-by date, right?
Yeah.
There's no, like, prescription for when this has to be done, necessarily.
Oh, I know. I think
that's
it'd be great.
That's actually pretty brilliant, I think.
Caroling. We have to go caroling.
And the rest of us can kind of video the person as they go door-to-door in a neighborhood.
They rent, like, a pickup truck or something. We sit in the back, and the loser has to go door-to-door.
I think that's really good. I mean, it's up to Danny and Darius, basically, to decide.
Yeah.
Although, I haven't seen the scores. Could be a... We could all have a chance. Darius, can you look up the scoreboard for us, please, and let us know what things look like as far as the picks go? But, Danny, I'm just happy that you're done shopping.
Yeah.
Because I know that that is one thing off your plate, and now you really can enjoy the final days of the season.
I mean, there isn't any enjoyment out of it. It's other than when it does go right for the kids. But, yeah, everything else is just effort and stress. That's all. But everyone, for some reason, everyone has to pretend it's not. And that's the weird part to me.
Or,
is the faking, is the pretending that it's something different entirely.
I think what my co-host is trying to say is Merry Christmas from the Grant and Danny radio program.
Yeah, hope everyone's healthy and happy, but again, it's just stress. That's all. Like, it's just real talk.
Ryan's in Ashburn on G&D. Ryan, what's got to go different for the Commanders against the Eagles?
Oh, man. So a couple of things here, guys. One, we got to get after Jalen Hurts. I think when we were able to send guys like Frankie Louvre in, and one of the big trick plays actually blew up, was just getting after him, making him make decisions before he wants to. I think just taking him off his edge, sending in 5-6 guys in, really like stifling Saquon, especially earlier on. With that being said, we do have to finish games here. In the last few games, honestly, against the Bears, against the Steelers, against the Cowboys, and then also against the Saints, we saw that we gave way too much in the fourth quarter, which ended up costing us or almost costing us the games.
It's actually a really good observation. They have worn down. I don't really know why that is, but they've gotten worse as the games have gone on. Now, it's hard to get better from not allowing a point in the first half and making Jake Haener look like he doesn't belong, which is what happened against the Saints. And in three quarters against New Orleans, they were by and large excellent. You know, because the third quarter, they gave up the two plays for 50 yards back-to-back and the trick play touchdown. But the fourth quarter was pretty inexcusable, right, where they gave up the 12 unanswered and they just couldn't get off the field, couldn't get any stops of a bad offense with a backup quarterback at the controls. But if you go back, he's right, all the way to the Philly game, they bottled up Barkley for the majority of the night. I'm not saying they didn't.
Yeah, no one's going to remember that because the way it ended, but you're 100% right.
It would have been like a 18 or so carry, you know, 90 to 100, something like that. He ended up ripping off the 25-yard touchdown run, then another 40-yard touchdown run. That's 65 right there as he got to 146. Both of those were in the fourth quarter. I would be willing to bet that half of his 146 yards were in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, he was basically 20 for 70 at one point in the game.
He only made one play. If you remember, he caught a pass in the middle of the field like a check down, and he
juked somebody out of their shoes.
Percy Butler's jock was on the ground, and he rumbled for what was a
43-yarder, I think.
Yeah, 40-plus yard gain. That play aside, through three quarters, they had played him as well as any team in the league. And then the fourth quarter happened. He got off, and the Eagles ran away with the game, literally.
Yeah, I mean, so if you're Philadelphia, obviously you take that in saying, eventually we're going to exert our will. I mean, this offensive line is so good. It's the hidden part of the game to me, that Philadelphia's O-line is among the best in the sport, and they're mauling people. Look at what they did this past weekend against Pittsburgh. If you didn't see it, they ended the game on a possession that started with over 10 minutes to go. And they just ran it out. They said, you're not stopping us. And they just pushed people around. That's Pittsburgh. That ain't Washington. That's that Pittsburgh front. And they said, our will, more important than yours, get shoved. And that's what happened.
I think some of that was that it was 4 days after the Pittsburgh game, to your point. And it's, you know, they're on the field at that. I did the math. I don't remember it now. But I think it was like 78 plays in 5 days or something or more. And it's like, how on earth can we expect? No, because it was, you know what it was? It was 70 plays against Philly. I think it might have been another 7 or so. It was like 140 plays over 5 days. So no wonder why you fatigue. But I'll give you that excuse then. You don't get that on Sunday with a full week's rest. The other thing is, everyone keeps pointing out they have Marshon Lattimore. That'll help. Do you remember that game different than I did? I mean, A.J. Brown had one 25-yard catch, which I think was on the first quarter. Otherwise, he was 4 for 40. Devontae Smith had 4 for 29, and 21 of them came on one catch, by the way. Those guys didn't beat them.
No.
I don't know how or why the Eagles couldn't throw the ball and didn't involve their receivers that much. I guess they didn't have to. But it wasn't like Benjamin St. Juice was toast. That was not a you got beat because your secondary was bad.
Yeah, we saw that game previously in I guess it was last year, right? Where it was A.J. Brown left, A.J. Brown right, A.J. Brown down the field, middle of the field, whatever he wanted, he got. That wasn't the case the first time.
Also known as the day we found out Emmanuel Forbes was not the guy.
Not that guy, pal.
You're not that guy, buddy.
Not that guy, Paul.
Vinny in Seat Pleasant, you're on the Fan. How are you?
What's going on, Granddad? How you feeling, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Just like the last call, I agree with the fact that we did do well with Saquon at the beginning of our game until the end. But stacking the box, I think, still works. If we can have someone can spy Jalen and have a linebacker who can just be specifically for Saquon, that'd be awesome, too. We can either have a nickel play the flats as well, you know, just to keep that that flat pass from or that check down pass to Saquon contained. But like you said, by us having Marshon Lattimore and him having a history on beating up on big receivers, I think he'll be okay with the one-on-one. Just have him follow AJ. I think him and AJ will have a nice battle. I think Jalen will get flustered and start going elsewhere. And when he starts going elsewhere, that's when Sam still can step up and do what he needs to do at his best. And, you know, I think the defense, just play well. Play a little better. Offense will definitely just speak for itself. I think Jaden will do what he needs to do to make sure he gets done what he needs to get done on offense. The receivers will be well. McLaren.
Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate you, dude.
Thank you. The offense was so awful in that first game, Danny. There's no way they play at that level again. Like, I refuse to believe. I do think Daniels wasn't right that night, but just generally, that was a worst-case scenario for almost everything they do on offense. Don't you think?
I do, 100%. I mean, there were multiple opportunities. And remember, Philadelphia also missed some field goals, so they came up empty early on in that game, whereas they'd kind of stacked some points. But that was one of those matter of time. When Washington had good opportunities and didn't really convert, you go, this is they're too good for that. Where you can get away with that against New Orleans. You can get away with that maybe against Dallas, although they didn't. You can't against Philly, right? The games that they've lost, which haven't been many, but I think Tampa Bay got up on them 20-0 or 21-0, and then it was more even for the rest of the day. But that's the only way to do it, in my opinion, is every opportunity. Not only is it, oh, it worked out, it's got to be like foot-on-the-throat type stuff, and you make them one-dimensional.
The caller suggested they've got to keep them from throwing the ball to Saquon Barkley. They don't really do that. And I don't understand why, but Barkley has more than two catches out of the backfield on two occasions since week 3. That's crazy to me.
Strange, right?
He also only has more than 12 receiving yards, I think 3 times, looking at the numbers here, since like week 4, if my math is correct, based on just scrolling box scores. So I don't know why, but they don't really throw him the football out of the backfield. He's mostly just a bell cow that they hand the football to. Darius, what are the confidence points scores if we were going to do the caroling as a punishment? What does that look like?
And just a little behind the scenes, we did not get to get our points in this past week. We were a little busy in New Orleans.
And so we were busy just forgot. Trying to eat everything in New Orleans.
Just eating all the food.
That is correct. Grant, you lead the way with 138 points. Ryan's in second place with 122. Danny with 116 is in third place. And I am bringing up the rear. But I've closed the gap with 111 points. So I'm only down by 5, behind Ryan by 11 points.
How do we feel about the caroling thing? I think that's funny. I think that could be good.
I think it's a bit. I think it's a bit that works.
We like it.
It plays.
could be something.
I mean, obviously I hate it so much, so I guess maybe that means it's
a thing. But it's doable hatred.
Yeah. I suppose.
The point is you got to do something that we're not going to like. Like, that's not the end of the world.
It's a lot better than
pretty close.
You got to carol for a half hour. People take videos of you as you walk up and ask people to sing. I think that's funny.
Just got it not in some strange neighborhood. Like, yeah. Just soliciting on people's door.
We'll just pick a neighborhood. We'll go and do some caroling. Yeah. Dressed in a Christmas outfit.
I was going to say, dressed in a Christmas outfit
well.
Well,
that's a given.
Yeah.
Next December. Be a great time. And plus,
it's not. I mean, it's a terrible punishment.
Then all you have to worry about is not finishing last. You got this. You're in third right now. Mm-hmm. There are some awkward work experiences, I'm sure, around the country that people have to deal with. I don't know if anybody's got more of an awkward situation going on than Cody Bellinger. I'm going to explain next on Grant and Danny. Eric Flack at the top of the hour in about 15 minutes with the latest on the RFK site and whether or not D.C. is going to get the land. Today at 4 o'clock, at that time, we'll give away tickets to a Caps game. Got to be listening to win them. I got a Caps Altcast tomorrow, out and about at the MGM over at National Harbor, in fact. I'm going to be doing an Altcast with your guy, Danny.
Who's that?
Tony P. in D.C.
So I'm glad you're doing an Altcast.
Thank you. I'll be there with Tony P. in D.C.
I'm glad you're doing an Altcast.
And Tariq El-Bashir will be there as well.
Oh, Tariq is awesome.
Big Tariq guy.
Grant's awesome. Tariq's awesome.
You're not being very nice.
Anyway, I didn't say anything.
I look forward to seeing Tony P out there talking puck. We will be at, I think, the sports book tomorrow, which is also where the Junkies are going to be doing. It's a busy day at MGM.
I was going to say.
We're there at night, and the Junkies will be there first thing in the morning. They will be doing their live drinking show with a live audience.
Oh, man.
That is a undertaking, I will say.
By the way, my wife asked me 2 months ago, do I know when that show is? Like the drinking show. She looks forward to that more than anything that I do at any point in time.
I kind of feel bad for them at this point because there's no way that they, at this point of their life, and I'm not trying to call them old, but at this point of their life.
They're older. They're older.
Do they want to drink until they feel terrible? Like, how long does that last at that point?
I don't know. But they can do it.
I mean, I'm 35 and I can't do that.
Well, like, they're in much better drinking shape, certainly, than we are.
I agree with
which
that.
Which is a dubious honor, because I don't, and, you know, it's not like you're a big imbiber.
No. But I don't know, man. In your 50s?
Yeah.
I feel like if you get after it for a day, you feel that for a few days.
Yeah, that stays with you.
But they don't have a choice. Like, people are expecting it.
Uh-huh.
People are showing up, watching, going, why aren't you having another drink,
like,
JP?
Like yelling at you like it's, you know, like you're pledging.
It's going to be a fun show, though. I will be listening starting at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And we'll be hanging out on stage with the Junkies January 31st.
Yes.
At the 106.7 The Fan Live event at Tally Ho Theater. I actually saw today when I got on the website to get a ticket that the first two rows have already sold out. Otherwise, I think it's pretty much general admission.
Hell yeah.
There's no way to know how tickets are moving otherwise. There's multiple rows that you can actually pay for that are already gone. So if you're getting your tickets, it'll be the Junkies, be Mitch and Finley, Danny and myself, the whole 106.7 The Fan crew on stage for a massive event in Leesburg, January 31st, Friday at 7 p.m. I think you and I are running the thing and emceeing it, but it's going to be really, really good. So people should come out and enjoy themselves.
It's going to be a blast, man. Those events are always so much fun. The live energy for stuff is something you can't replace. You know, as someone that loves to stand on stage and hear himself talk, it is the coolest.
Tallyhotheater.com for tickets. I brought up Cody Bellinger. I want to squeeze this in really quickly. Is this one of those things where I need to just be a little more mature, or is this a good bit awkward? Cody Bellinger's wife and mother of his two children is a model. She is beautiful, and I'm sure she's a lovely mom, and they have a great life. Before she was his wife and the mother of his two children, she spent 2 years dating Giancarlo Stanton, apparently pretty seriously, from what we can gather.
Oh.
Went to games, traveled with him, was at the LCS or whatever, sitting next to Aaron Judge's now wife. They traveled around together. And now Cody Bellinger has been traded to the New York Yankees. So he will be in the locker room next to Giancarlo Stanton, who dated his wife for 2 years. And there's these events where, you know, your wife is there.
2 years is a long time.
I mean, it's not like it was a week. Apparently, it was from 2018 through 2019, according to the New York Post. Now, Ryan broke this news to me. He came up to me and he's like, dude, how crazy is this for Bellinger? And I'm like, I don't know. Is it that crazy? He's like, I think that's awkward. And my point was, oh, they're both grown-ups. They'll never talk. He's like, do you just get it out of the way the first day? You just walk up to him and you're like, hey, man, I know you dated my wife. I was like, no, I don't think you ever mention it because I think you're both grown-ups. And this happens probably more than we all think. You just see the guy that you know from high school. Oh, he dated my wife, and it's the end of it. But
yeah, it does happen to grown-ups. I will say, like, I dated a girl. That's this is true. All right, this is true.
You dated someone?
Yes, I did.
You mean your wife?
I did. I dated her.
Wow.
This is before I knew she existed. Okay.
I cover my ears. La, 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 la.
I dated a girl. It was an honest to goodness amicable disillusionment. I know people say that it was you know, mutual. This one actually was, and like I went to her wedding with she married someone that I knew very well from growing up as well. Like, it's okay, you know what I mean? Like, adults can do it.
My point to Clary is you don't talk about it. I don't think it comes up.
Well, not at the nuptials. It wasn't like, hey man, you know,
no,
like.
No, I'm saying,
but yes, your point's taken.
Yeah. Do Cody Bellinger and Giancarlo Stanton ever acknowledge this? I bet you one of their teammates in a, you know, ball busting session at some point.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I bet you somebody does. I bet you somebody does. But like, again, you're a grown up. You can make a joke. Like, you know what I mean? I think the stuff that those guys talk about, I think it's not a big deal at all.
So you think level of awkwardness is a 0 out of 10?
Maybe 0.5 for like an hour, and then that's it.
I'm gonna say 3 out of 10 at all times.
Mm.
Not high. Like, it's not like I'm gonna be avoiding Giancarlo Stanton, but I'd prefer not to be on the same team as the guy.
So, like, the way I would describe it is, it would go like this among teammates. Let's say they're in the same BP group, right? Right? Together. Stanton in the middle of the order. Bats, Bellinger, Stanton. Stanton runs into the cage first and goes, oh, I got there first. Kind of like, anyway, let me take my swings. Stuff like that would happen all the time.
I don't think that will ever happen. I don't think these two will bring it up to each other. I think teammates occasionally will mention it. Like, and I'm saying inebriated out and about, like, at the dinner.
In the locker room, you know, pregame type stuff. These guys live together basically for 9 months, you know?
And I'm saying little deal, not big deal. I just think that if I could avoid being a teammate with the guy that dated my wife, I would probably prefer.
You try to do that?
Yeah. It's like, is it better to not work right next to the cubicle of the person who previously dated your girlfriend? It probably is.
Yeah, it probably is, yeah.
So I'm going to say 3 out of 10. Eric Flack has covered this stadium situation better than anybody. What in the heck is going on? How and why is Elon Musk involved? Are we going to get land back to D.C. so that it can be built on? Or is this falling apart at the seams in the final hour here? That's next on Grant and Danny.